Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. The show that's all about energetic organized crime and various other forms of scumbaggery as well, where we try to keep the power grid real, real low so no mofo can ever really challenge it.
And welcome back to my very special guests. What have we got here? We've got Randy Powell and Daniel Nunes. And I don't know what it is about the name Randy, which I find really amusing, and the fact that he's got like this awesome sort of Sherlock Holmes villain moustache just makes it even that more awesome. All right. Well, anyway.
Well, you know, there was another famous Randy. I think that was Randy Pan, the Goat Boy. So being that you're a Bill Hicks fan, you know, there's always Randy Pan, the Goat Boy.
Yeah, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
No, obviously the greatest wrestler who ever lived.
Of course. And we were talking over the break about how when you come up with original ideas, I've noticed that what people do is they tell other people what these ideas are. And in the process of telling other people what these ideas are, the motivation for actually implementing that idea themselves diminishes. So the more people you tell about your idea, the less work you actually do on it, and your idea eventually disappears into nothingness. You ever notice that?
That's an interesting insight for sure. I guess I'm really screwed then, because I've told a lot of people. But yeah, you can definitely burn yourself out with the talk. And that's the problem, is finally now I'm getting to this place where we're going to do a movie and do this and that. And I'm almost really burned out on explaining this stuff, because I've done it so much and said the same things and been over the same topic so many times that you can get in that frame where you just want to move on and do something else. And it's not really that I want to move on. I just want to evolve in the work. You don't want to be a black belt at something and still teaching the basic move to the white belts forever. You know, eventually you want somebody else to be able to do that so that you can explore more your art and try and improve it. And I have a lot of work in the math and the geometry of this that needs to be explored. And at this point, it's so complex. Even though it's based on very simple principles, visually it becomes so complex that it requires 3D computer modeling. So we have great artists working with us now. I just put up a new video up on Facebook that's on YouTube as well, done by my good friend Tom Barnett, who worked with me even years ago exploring these concepts. And he did a lot of the animations that were in the TED Talk that I did. And, he's doing fantastic animation work. Our good friend Chuck is doing a lot of incredible web work, and he's built a whole interactive vortex-based mathematics website, which I forget the name of right off of my mind, but I'll send you that link. But it's a place where people can actually go in and move these toruses around and look at them from different angles. But it's still, again, a very nascent thing that needs to be, because the more complex side of the math requires a lot of work, and it's all volunteer at this point. And I'm trying to, because I chose not to go the business route with the energy stuff, I'm trying to do that in the entertainment realm and create books and films and share the information, both documentary style sharing of the information, and also developing fictional film concepts that can help explain these ideas and teach people about them through entertaining stories and different things like that. So all of that is in the works to try and also help fund the exploration of further aspects of the math and the technology as well.
Well, so you see, this is the interesting part about it is that you can either do two things. You can either explain to people what you're doing, or you can do things that are unexplainable to most people. I don't know if people quite understand this yet. Ultimately, you don't need people to understand what you're doing. You actually need to just do what you're doing.
I agree. Right. I agree. The truth is, this is a lot of both. It is constantly explaining the unexplainable, and it is its own kind of Ouroboros and its own contradiction. But I think, you just have to live with that contradiction, and you have to keep, that's why we do everything backwards. Science is looking for an explanation for everything. I don't believe that there is an explanation for everything. In fact, I don't even believe that the universe was ever created. If that isn't bizarre enough, I believe that it is eternal, and that the past and future are both infinite. And as incomprehensible as that is to us, but it's a bounded infinity. It's a spinning closed system. What was the point I was going to make there? I don't know. I lost it. But I don't know. I was saying something right before that, and that statement just threw my mind off in the other direction. But anyway. We're just trying to find a way to apply these things and get these ideas implemented. I know there was some grand point I had there, but it just the brain clogged.
It happens.
Oh, we were talking about trying to explain the unexplainable. What I was saying was that essentially you have to approach things from the sense that it is a mystery. And so the explanations are just little gifts that the mystery allows us to get, which are almost just like little facets on a crystal, little perspectives and ways of looking at the unity which is there. So everyone's perspective has some merit, but they all fit in a different place. And certainly there are mixes of right and wrong and what everybody is saying, because it is a perspective on the whole, but it is just one perspective. And, it's always a contradiction, but we try to approach things from the mystery and look at numbers themselves as a mystery and then try to decrypt the answers out of that mystery. So the whole explanation is always elusive, and you could talk forever and never exhaust it. And yet, that's ultimately what we want, something, an inexhaustible well of information that can constantly be derived, because no embodied being, I don't think, can comprehend it all at once.
It seems to be a split in it, like whether or not you're wanting to find the answers or whether or not you're trying to better simply understanding the questions.
Observer's law?
Yeah.
The double slit experiment.
In a way,
That. The double slit experiment, you say, Daniel? What was that?
Yeah, it's like the double slit, right? Where the observer looks at the experiment and the outcome changes. So it's like the roots of alchemy, or the roots of all science, rather, right? You have the scientist, or the person who's trying to learn about these natural laws has to be in tune enough to separate themselves from the experiment, just enough to actually find something. Because otherwise, the more you're seeking for it, the more you're looking at it in a very close way, it's just not going to happen. So it's an interesting phenomenon there.
Well, it's true as well. And I found just in my personal life doing this radio show and things like that, occasionally I'll be burnt out and my brain will just turn to crap and I don't know what the hell's going on and that kind of thing. And if I take a week or two off, and I mean off, like not answering emails or Skype messages or looking at Facebook or doing anything to do with my work, when I come back, suddenly my brain's back as well. And it's firing on all cylinders, even greater than it was before. It's an interesting phenomenon that is, like, if you take a step back from your intense involvement, your involvement becomes more intense.
That's right. Well, that's touching back on what you were talking about before, also with looking at bringing out new ideas or new discoveries. And the more you talk about it, the more it gets worn out. Well, a lot of people, they don't realize that, energy researchers are also people. So you'll get a lot of people asking questions about these things. And when they see you doing some mundane activity, like in the supermarket or something, it's just like, whoa, you're here at the supermarket. But, it's like, you also have to be in line with the finer things of life, which is just enjoying life and having time, let's say, for your kids or for your family, for, yourself. And, it's very important to regroup that element to it, because when you don't, then you suffer the getting tired of talking about the same thing all the time, because that's just part of it. You have to recharge that battery.
Yeah, and other people get tired of what you're talking about too. It's like, what was it? If you love your work, it burdens the people that you love, whereas if you hate your work, it burdens you.
That's right. That's right. It's very interesting. But we're all human, and we're all connected in ways that are yet to be understood, and that's a beautiful thing. One thing that crossed my mind when we were talking about that whole energy concept of this ever-expanding energy. So just on a for instance, to relate it back to the technology, you have, let's say, a set output of 300 volts. You can plug in 300 volts worth of LEDs into these coils and light those LEDs. Now, what would normally happen if you exceed that, you wouldn't get any light. But instead, what the coils do, they expand how much their voltage output is as you plug in more lights to the output. So what you get is a higher voltage as you plug in more things. You also have a field that the coils create that actually expands. So instead of you having a magnetic field that's, let's say, 15 feet, it expands to 20. As you plug in more lights, it expands to 25. So these are some interesting things that also tie into pretty much what you guys were saying with this ever-expansive energy. What ends up happening right now on, you have a coil that will pretty much start spewing out ozone. You get a lot of ozone production, and they destroy themselves if they're not designed for that particular purpose. So that's an interesting characteristic where we can actually start, sanitizing rooms. So we can create clean rooms. We could structure water. We could purify, a lot of toxins that are in the air. Or let's say doctor's offices, or schools, things like that. So a lot of potentials right here, right now, and using these concepts that are present everywhere.
Well, I found that the world is full of things that you can use if only you had the presence of mind to use them. And what I find very strange about the energy industry is that they operate under old ideas, old concepts, and I don't ever seem to see new research, new developments coming out of the major energy conglomerates or anything like that. It seems like they're not interested in creating energy in any new way, shape, or form. They're just not interested.
That's why it's up to us. I mean, if other people aren't very interested because they've had their years worth of work, and a lot of people, they've had a set number of years. I mean, a lot of people took 12 years of schooling to come to the level where they're at now, where they can finally start engaging back in life as just normal people, and they don't really want to burden the workload and get back into a lot of new discoveries, So that's something that has to be understood as well when we talk about how people want to shut things down or, sabotage other new developments. It's really that, what we end up doing by opening up the doors with new development is, increasing work, which is something that I also feel that we need right now. A lot of people are without jobs, without things to do, and just happens to be that a lot of these coils are going to have to be hand wound. So, it's a beautiful thing when you think of it. you know, you have very elaborate technologies that are using very simple, inexpensive materials, but they do need working hands. So, you know, it's something that could help out the economy in ways that a lot of people are just still unaware of.
Well, I also think that the concept of working, we've gone from the agrarian culture where people were working, you know, usually very close to home on fields or things of that nature, just in order to survive, right? Then we went into urbanization culture where people would travel to specific areas like big cities and things like that, and they would work in factories all clustered together, and they'd be able to produce income that's even greater than just what it takes to sustain themselves. And this is what created the middle class. I think there's going to be a new energy and urbanization sort of revolution here, whereby people, the idea of work to me is really redundant in a lot of ways, because we've got the ability to create technologies that make working almost pointless. You know, it would be cool That's right. if we had automatic food, automatic energy, and then what the hell else do you really need to work for if you've got unlimited food and unlimited energy? The answer is
not a lot.
The answer is not a lot. And what kind of new challenges would that provide for society where everybody says you're not you and you're not worthy unless you've got a slave job? We'll be right back.